All right. This is March 16th. Is it necessary?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. With that said, I hope that everyone is letting that sink into their consciousness and that you're using that in your daily life. Now, I want to back up to last week. You know, after I do these talks, my mind continues. And my mind also edits everything. And it tells me when I've done something wrong. Uh-huh. So, I have two things to tell you. I'm always amazed that my feet are made of clay, you know. I'm trying for sainthood, but it keeps slipping away from me. Last week, Andy asked a question about somebody that he knew got a part or got auditions and so forth, and something happened there, and he said, what should I do about that? I thought about that all week. First of all, you have to be extremely happy for that person. You have to clap your hands. You have to bring up that energy inside of you and say, I'm so glad that that person got that job. You see, we're taught not to do those things. We're taught to hold that back. And we're taught, oh, they got it, now I can't. That. We don't live in that type of a universe, people. We live in a universe where you can do it all, where you can have everything, you see. So, in the Bible it says, enter with symbols. You must make noise. You must be happy. You must be filled with joy for that person. Why must you be filled with joy for the other person? No, you don't know. You know why?
They don't want to be attracted to you. Joy.
Yes, and because there's only you. The other person is you.
That's right.
So, we're all one. Yes, so we have to do that. Does that help Andy in any way, shape, or form? Mm-hmm. Then the other thing that I said, and this relates to our topic, is it necessary? Somebody asked me about Marianne Williamson. And I said nasty things about her when I got home and thought about it. And that's not right. You see, I slip in right into that old type of thinking and so forth. And I apologize for that. It was not necessary. When somebody asked me about Marianne Williams, I said, oh, well, she's this, 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 and that, whatever I say. I remember I said she considers herself a bitch for Christ, which I don't particularly like, but it's none of my business. It's not necessary for me to tell anybody else that. It's not necessary for me to say anything about Marianne Williamson. I should say she's the most wonderful person in the world. And she probably is. I've never met the woman. So why does my mind do that? You see, and our minds do that right away. That was from gossip and stuff I heard other people say about her. I picked it up. That's what we call a mind virus. And I contacted that mind virus. So I got it. You see, I got the virus myself. It's never necessary to say anything nasty about anybody. And I was nasty. So I apologize for that. When I was growing up, my father used to say to me, Dallas, if you don't have something good to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. And we must go back to that. If you don't have something good to say about the person, why say anything? Our little ego mind tells us, oh, well, they'll think I'm smart, they'll think I'm whatever my mind was trying to do. It was not right. We have to be nice to everybody, and we have to say nice things about everyone. And the other thing is, I'm sure Marianne Williamson has no idea, well, one iota of an idea who I am, so I know she's not talking about me. So why should I talk about her, you see? We can't do that type of thing. We just can't do that type of thing. The other thing is, I think it's left the news, but when the Crosby thing was going on, you know,
Crosby.
Yeah, Bill, Crosby. With all those women or whatever he was doing. Do I know if that's true? I don't know if that's true. So I have to stay out of that. You just have to stay out of that. It'll resolve itself. Putting your consciousness into it and putting weight into that is not what we want. That's what race mind is all about. We talk about the wrong things and we think we're doing right when we jump on the bandwagon and absolutely persecute somebody. We persecute people we don't even know, for goodness sake. So why? It's not necessary. It's not necessary to do that anymore. If we're moving up in spirit and we want our consciousness to follow, we can't bring ourselves down to that level. You know, once we bring ourselves down to that level, we're a mess again. We don't want to be that. We want to rise above it. I'm sure that this thing that we call God holds nothing against Marianne Williamson, holds nothing against anybody, you see? So why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? We cannot judge. It's just impossible to judge. And I know some people say, well, that's God's job to judge. I'm here to tell you that God does not judge you. God only loves you. And I wish more people would remember that. And I wish more churches would teach that, you know, across the board. And synagogues and everything should teach people that it's all about loving yourself and then loving the other person, you see. We cannot do that. So that brings me to the point of after we have these thoughts, after we do this, then the idea is to go and sin no more. We cannot sin anymore. You see, we can't keep repeating that. I will never badmouth Marianne Williamson again. And that's exactly what I did. I badmouthed her. And see, that was not necessary, was it? And it doesn't hurt her. It hurts me. You see, it's my mind when I went home, said Dallas. What were you thinking? What were you doing, you see? So you have to correct those things. It's always going to be, is it necessary to say the different things? And years ago, we thought it was necessary to butt in and to have an opinion, to do this and that. It's not necessary anymore, you know? It's not necessary. And if you have an opinion, keep it to yourself, is my philosophy. You know, you don't want to add all that to other people. And everyone is doing the very best they know how to do. They may be doing it differently than you would do it, but they're doing the very best they know how to do. All right. The other thing I wanted to say, when I was leaving the house this evening, I had my little basket in hand and all, and I got to the door, and I opened the door, in fact, and all of a sudden it dropped into my mind that I had some notes on this card. And I went to my desk, found this card. Now, what did I do then?
You read it.
Pardon?
You read it.
No, I said, thank you, God, for reminding me. Oh. Thank you, God, for reminding me. You have to remember that you're living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God. And that this is what I want to get through to you, that this is a practical teaching. And this is how I use this thing called God. You see? This is how I use God. And this popped right into my mind. The notes. Well, I say, thank you, God, for reminding me of that. Because it's always this thing, God doing something for you. God is always willing to do things for you. So use it, people. people say, oh, I can't remember anything. Well, you don't have to remember it yourself. God will remember it for you. You see? So use that. And I've used that many times. But remember to say, thank you. Oh, now you have the connection. You see, now I have a connection with God, don't I? Because I said, thank you. And my mind said, oh, thank you, God, for remembering these few little notes, you see? This is how you use this thing called God. This is how you use this teaching called whatever they call it these days. I get confused myself what it's called. I see now you're the global something. Global truth center. Global truth center. Well, that's a nice ring. It has a nice ring to it. I don't know. I just love the way they put that stuff out there, you know. Nothing wrong with that, to, you know, if you want to be the global.
You want it to be more than North Hollywood.
North Hollywood Church of Religious Science. Yes, he wanted to be global.
Bigger and broader.
Yes.
Is that where it is, North Hollywood? North Hollywood. Is that where yours is?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, North Hollywood.
Thanks.
So, this teaching, and this thing called God, will get you out of almost any difficulty. It'll get you out of any difficulty. It will absolutely get you out of any difficulty. You cannot understand that, but you have to start to believe that. And you have to believe that for yourself. You have to know what? That you're always being taken care of. You're always being taken care of. That this thing called the universe, called God, wisdom, intelligence, whatever you want to call it, is there to take care of you. And I remind myself of that all the time. Now, I told the story, and I'll tell it one more time, because Sue probably doesn't remember it, because I didn't talk about it when you were here. Years ago, oh, it's got to be 30 or more years. Who knows? I can't keep up with time anymore. I was at a retreat in the North Georgia mountains. And I was in the woods. And I was walking through the woods and I came to a precipice. And I was standing there looking and I could feel hands on my shoulders up here. Holding me like that. I never turned around. I knew exactly that I was in the presence of something. And that presence, call it God, call it spirit, call it whatever you wanted, said to me, Dallas, I'm going to take care of you from now on. Because after all, I'm better at it than you are. I'm better at it than you are. I said, thank you very much. And from that day to this, I have been taken care of. Now, when I tell these stories, I tell them simply because you can do the same thing. I'm not special. I don't wish to be special. Years ago, when I was living in complete race mind, I wanted to be special. Now I don't care about being special, because everyone is special, and this thing works for everyone. So use it. Know that you're being taken care of, and know that this spirit can do it better than you can. You see? You have to know that. I think I told Andy this. When you're looking for a job, or you're looking for where to move, whatever you're looking for, you have to say to yourself, spirit can do for me what I cannot do. It can find my right place and put me in it. Spirit is the only thing that can find your right place. Don't worry about all that stuff. I have that client in Chicago. I gave that to him as an affirmation to keep using. Now, whether he will use it or not, I have no idea. But his main thing, you see, we all want to be spiritual. We want this stuff to work for us. Well, then you have to live in a spiritual manner. You have to live in a spiritual world. And this particular person is very affluent in psychology. Now, if you're living in a psyche, if you're living with all your motivations and everything hinged on psychology, you've put yourself into a box that you can't get out of. It's a wonderful box. You can live in that box, and a lot of people do, and they know all those jargon, and they know all that stuff. But if you want to find spirit, you have to bring yourself out of that psychological babble to up to a spiritual place. That is why it says in the Bible, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. You see, in the mind of God, there are many types of consciousness, but it's all God consciousness. We have race mind. Everyone thinks that race mind is somehow outside of the mind of God. Absolutely wrong, people. You can never be outside of the mind of God. Race mind is operating in the mind of God, and you're allowed to use that if you wish. But when you find out it's not going to get you what you want, it'll get you where you want to go, then you say, oh, I think I'll change my mind about this. I will change my mind. I will rise up in consciousness. Now, we all have concepts, don't we, of what this thing is about, what this God is about. My concept of God is completely different to yours. Now, we may match every once in a while with what it is, you see. But that's quite all right, too. You have to do all this stuff for yourself. You have to bring yourself to believe. You have to bring yourself to believe. Which brings me to my friend Betty. Betty was a college friend, a college friend of mine. And she got into metaphysics also. In fact, I led her into it. And she said, and I love this, God never asks you to do anything. God asks you always to believe more. You must learn to believe more. That's what it's all about, is learning to believe. To believe what? To believe in yourself. To believe that this thing really works. To believe that metaphysics really works. Paula earlier mentioned the law of attraction, didn't you? We have to know that that law is going on all the time. We have to know that. We have to know how powerful we are. And we have to know that our word, as Florence Shin would say, our word is our wand. So you have to speak the word, the word that you want. You see, all the rest is unnecessary. All the rest is unnecessary. See, you don't have to try harder. You have to believe more. It has nothing to do with trying harder. It's the same way it has nothing to do goodness. People think, oh, well, now I'll be really good and God will take care of me, or God will help me in this and that. No, that doesn't influence God at all. Goodness has nothing to do with it. You have to remember that it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. This thing called the law works for the just and it works for the unjust. And that's why in metaphysics so many people get discouraged, because as they look at that scoundrel And he can always make things come to him and stuff, but he's still a scoundrel. God doesn't care if you're a scoundrel. You care if you're a scoundrel. You see? You have to be the person. So that's how you draw things to you, by changing that belief system. So change your belief systems. And since we know that our word is so powerful, then we must learn not to say unnecessary things. And that's exactly what I did last week. I did unnecessary talking about somebody that I had no idea. I know who she is, but besides that, I have no idea about the woman. So why do I want to make those things? The only thing I can think of, it was an ego trip for me, because you people all thought, oh, isn't that nice? He knows Marianne Williamson, and now he gave us all these little tidbits about Marianne Williamson. You know, well, I got those from somebody else. They were never mine. But that's that mind virus. You pick up and you start to do things with. And we don't want to do that. That's not necessary. It is not necessary. So go back to your parents and what they said. If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. My father lived with that attitude. Was he a nice man? Sometimes. But he left that behind me. And I remember that. And it is so true. Because you feel better about yourself when you're bolstering somebody up. You feel so much better. Why do you want to bash them? Why do you want to bash them? Now, back when I was in college and I met Betty, who I talked about earlier, at that time, you know, I was known as the man with the stainless steel tongue. Simply because I could lash through people in no time flat. Betty looked at me one day and said, "Dallas, you could do so much better than that." She said, "Why don't you try healing instead of hurting? Why don't you try healing instead of..." Marvelous concept, wasn't it? A marvelous. I latched onto that, and from that day to this, I try to heal and not hurt people. So many people want to hurt. And now that reminds me of our dear friend, Rhoda. Rhoda always said, sarcasm cuts the flesh. Sarcasm cuts the flesh. And it is absolutely true. I used to be sarcastic. I gave that up. But I came from a family that was, they were sarcastic, and they thought that's what life was all about, to be sarcastic. It is not what life is about. Life is about loving yourself, loving other people, loving this whole life experience, people. This life experience is the most wonderful gift that we've ever been given. Ever been given. What a wonderful thing. And when we think that this God and so forth is against us, or the universe is against us, how can that be when we live on this planet, which is magnificent? I watch every travel thing on television, every natural thing on television, waterfall, whatever. When you see all the wonders that are on this planet, how could anyone say, "Now isn't that awful, God put us here?" God gave us a gift. God gave us a gift. And most of us are blind to that gift, because we fall into race mind, where everything is horrible, everything is mean, everything is difficult. Don't make your life difficult, people. Make your life easy. And you make your life easy by connecting and blending with this thing called God. You make your life easy. Because God is the only power there is. And God knows exactly how to do this, that, and the other thing. So I never worry about any of that. And I remember that God is better at taking care of me than I am. Which makes absolute sense, you see. That made more sense to me than anything. Oh, thank goodness, because I was at a loss. I was at a loss. I'm no longer at a loss, thank goodness. Do I understand all this? Do I understand life and all? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I don't worry because I know I'm being taken care of. And I know I'm being shown things all the time. I'm being shown things all the time. So when I get into any situation that's difficult, I know there's something wrong. If it isn't easy, God is not there. You see? So I make my life easy. I make things happen wonderfully for me, you see. So I don't have to worry about all that other stuff that other people worry about. That's what this teaching is about, people. Call it whatever you want. It teaches you a completely different way to go through life. It teaches you that you are responsible, that you are the cause to your own experience, that you're causing the experience. Last week I said I'm to the point where I realize that I am creating my life one thought at a time. One thought at a time. So I try to pick good thoughts. I try to pick thoughts that heal me and bless me and prosper me. Any other thought that comes into my mind, I tell it to go away. Get out of here. You're not serving me. You're not doing well by me. And keep doing that, people, if you're not. Because eventually, your mind will open up to that whole thing and you go, oh my goodness, isn't that something? But we don't open up to that because of the pressure from the world. The world is always trying to get your attention. Do not give it your attention. As soon as you slip into that world, you lose peace of mind right away. You lose complete peace of mind. Because if you look at that world out there, if you look at that 5 o'clock news or whatever that thing is, well, they just tell you it's the world's falling apart, everyone's killing everybody, and this is going on and that's going on and all this. That may be true. I don't want it to be true. I want it to be true what I know. But I don't know one person in prison. I don't know one person who's done anything to get into trouble about. And I certainly don't know anyone that's murdered anybody. So I am not going to allow my mind to get into that. You see? And somebody goes, oh, isn't that awful? No, it's not awful. It's occurring over there. But it's not occurring in my world. It's not occurring. Now, I have many people say to me, Dallas, you're wearing blinders. Get your head out of the sand, you see. I don't care what they say. Doesn't bother me in the least. I'm not going to change my mind. It took me all these years to get my mind to this point. Why would I give it up? I wouldn't give my mind up for anything. Brings up another point. Learn to love your mind. Learn to train your mind. Learn to tell your mind what you want. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Use it correctly to bring into your life the things that you want, the wonderful things that you want, and experience this life to the fullest, people. And you do that by getting rid of race mind, by not letting the world pull you in. It always wants to drag you in. So once it gets your attention, there's nothing you could do about it. Your attention should always be on God. There is where your attention should be. If it goes other places, bring it back. Bring it back. There's a little pamphlet out by Emmett Fox called The Golden Key. And the Golden Key is all about when you have a problem, when you ever have anything, don't think of the problem, think of God. Always think of God. You see, but we're not trained that. We're trained, oh, let's see if we can solve this problem. Let's see if we can delve into this, that, and the other thing. It's not going to work. Golden key everything, people. Think of God. And know that this thing called God is for you, not against you. You see? So many people still have this idea that God is causing all this stuff. God is not causing anything. You're causing it. And you're using your mind, which is connected to the mind of God, to do everything that comes into your life. You see? Can you understand that? So there's the power that you have that we talk about all the time. It's your mind, you see? So when you can control your thinking, when you can learn to think the thought that you want to think and feel the feeling you want to feel, can you imagine what a wonderful life you could have? None of that stuff. You wouldn't be doing all that worry and so forth. So I don't know. I told you a couple of weeks ago I was walking with that young man, and he said for Lent he was giving up worry. I haven't seen him since. But I doubt that would work for him, because he said he's developed that type of personality. You see, we develop these things. You can say, oh, somebody else caused it. No one ever causes you to do anything. You choose to do it. You choose to be the person that you are. And we can pick ourselves up from anything. Doesn't matter. The past is gone. Has no influence on you whatsoever unless you start to think about it. So don't think about it. It's not necessary to dredge up the past. That is why it says in the Bible, let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. All those things in your mind are dead. You keep going in there and digging them up again. Don't dig things up. Let the dead bury the dead. Makes so much sense when you think about it, doesn't it? You don't need all that stuff in your mind. You do not need to do that kind of thing to yourself. So think about what is necessary and what is not necessary for me to think about, for me to talk about, you see? And you'll find most of it is not necessary at all. And this whole thing, I could be on the phone constantly gossiping with people. That's completely not necessary. I do not need to know any of that. And those people do not need any of mine. Opinions or anything. You see, they don't need it. It's not necessary. We fill in a great deal of time, don't we? Talking. Mostly nonsense. Mostly rubbish. Mostly garbage. We just keep talking. Don't we do that? Do you do that?
I don't do it.
Pardon?
I don't do it.
Good. See that? Don't. And real estate people are the world's worst.
But not me.
Yeah, good. Don't do it to yourself. You'll sell more.
Only if you need it.
Pardon?
If you need it, you have to do it.
Yes. But do you discover over the years that when you're thinking the right thoughts, and we are being kind and generous and all those things, sales come to you, don't they? Mm-hmm. Say, you know, sales will come to you then. It's all done with your mind, people. It's your mind. Use it. Have fun with it. Make an experiment. Do whatever you want, but have fun. And you'll get it. And you'll have an aha moment in your life. Oh, look what I've done. And we love those aha moments, you see. Then you realize that I am tapping into this thing called God. I'm tapping into the universe itself. The universe is in me, through me, as me. And I'm connected to everything. I'm connected to everything, you see. My plants in my home, you know, are my children. I love them and I talk to them. I do all that. I had my friend come up. He's a horticulturist to trim them because I don't like to, you know, I have to go through this whole thing. You know, it's like cutting off an arm or something. But I'll tell you what I remember, and I love this one. The whole universe shudders when a blade of grass is cut. That's how connected we are to things. The whole universe shudders. You see? I went to yoga this morning. The young master that was there, they had some kind of an accident before I got there, and they took the one master off to the hospital. And she looked at me and she said, "Well, you know it was an accident." I looked at her and I said, "And I know that there's no such things as accident. And that's what you're supposed to be teaching. So how could it be an accident?" I'm sorry, it's not an accident. I said he was thinking something that he shouldn't have been thinking. Or he wouldn't have fell down with the flower pot or whatever he fell down with, I don't know. And he is the headmaster. You see? You can't do that. And you can't say you're teaching something and then say, "Oh, that was an accident." Nothing is ever an accident. There's no such thing as chance or accident in the universe. There always has to be a cause and effect going on somewhere. You have to have the two of them to get something done, you see. And we don't know, we can't pinpoint it exactly why, and I'm not going to debate it with her, but I certainly wasn't going to let that girl get away with telling me that it was an accident. I don't do that anymore. I was nice to her. I didn't slap her or anything. But I don't let those things slip by me anymore and say, "Oh, well, she didn't know what she's talking about." No, because now it's out there in the universe. It's going out there doing something. You have to correct all that. And you can correct your own thoughts when you have a thought that's bad. Correct it. That's what I did with Mary Ann Williamson. When I got home, my mind said, "Oh, Dallas, you know." This is when I use my mind to audit things for me. And then I take that advice and I do something about it so that I don't repeat it. That's that whole idea of go and sin no more, you see. Go and sin no more. Don't keep repeating the same thing over and over and over and over again. You may have sin, which, by the way, only means a mistake that you made. Means to miss the mark in archery. So you have that going on. You can correct your own thinking. And it doesn't mean that my mind is taking over. in that case, my mind was helping me. So I thanked it for that. And now I've changed that. And now I've completely forgiven myself, please. I could forgive myself almost instantly. I made a stupid error. But I had to correct that because I'm teaching you people, and myself always, you know, you always teach what you need to know. I'm teaching you people. So I could not let that go by. I could not let that go by. Then I would be what? A charlatan of some sort, or a hypocrite, you see. We have enough hypocrites out there. We don't need another hypocrite in the world. We need people that want to tell the truth, that want to see the truth, and are able to talk about the truth. That's what this teaching is about. That's what life is about. Learning your own truth and speaking your truth. You see, you can know the truth, but if you don't speak the truth, it doesn't do a bit of good. It doesn't do a bit of good. This teaching, by the way, does not go out and try to get members. We don't go, you know, door to door knocking and saying, you know, trying to gang save people on the front porch. We don't do that. We let people come to us. We let people come to us. That's why I know that when you people come here, you come here because you're looking for something. You're waiting to hear something that will stimulate you. And I respect that, people. And I try to give you a good talk. I try to be honest, sincere, and above board. I could change this whole demeanor. I could do a lot of things that would attract people. One of the things I used to do is if I went to fill the room, I'd tell them, next week we're going to talk about sex. The same. The whole room would fill up the next week. But I don't want to play little tricks like that, you see. That is not necessary. To do that, what is necessary is to let your light shine. You see, that's what I'm trying to do. Not be spectacular at all, but I'm trying to show you that there's something going on here which is universal. Which is universal. And if I can do it, you can do it. That's the main thing. You see, other churches, other religions, always have a hierarchy. They always have to have a hierarchy. This teaching does not have a hierarchy. There are some people who would like it to be a hierarchy, but it's never going to turn into that. So, and back when all those other religions were started, they patterned themselves out of the things of the day. They had kings and queens and royalty and all that. So they made the church the same thing. What I absolutely am always, not appalled, amazed by, is when they say Mary ascended into heaven and there she was crowned and now she sits on a throne in heaven. Yeah, she was crowned and now she sits on a throne in heaven. I find that hard to believe. Absolutely find it hard to believe. And not that I'm against Mary. I'm not against Mary. I don't want... Do you want a hierarchy with princes of the church? I think cardinals are called the princes of the church. They have that hierarchy going on. We don't need that, do we? We don't need that. And that's not to put down the Catholic Church, by the way. Which I could easily do, but I'm not going to because it's not necessary. It's absolutely not necessary. What is necessary is to remember what the Pope, the new one, Pope Francis said. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? Give up judgment. I read years ago that judgment, when you judge all day long, that's what makes you tired. If you stop judging, you wouldn't be as tired as you are. Good idea, isn't it? And who wants to judge? I don't want that job. I don't want that job. And there is no judgment going on out there. If you think God is judging, give that idea up. I hear that constantly on different programs that I turn into. They still have that idea that God is judging, God is punishing, God is doing this, that, and the other thing. God's not doing anything but pouring love. Love, love, love. And God wants you to love yourself. And God wants you to think the right thoughts about yourself. All the other thoughts that you're thinking are not necessary. Only thoughts of love are necessary. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.